Hello there and welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Wednesday, July the 8th. Today we're going to talk about seeking the Lord. You know, this is one of those themes that it sounds really good, seeking the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? But the question is, for each of us, I think, do we really seek the Lord in our day-to-day lives, or are we really seeking our comfort, our security elsewhere? All right? And look, I'm guilty of this at times. And the mass readings from today's Daily Mass, I think, really present a good message for us. So I said to myself, I have these great conversations with myself. I said, why don't we talk about seeking the Lord? How can we seek the Lord during the course of our day when we are faced with so many distractions, so much bad news, so many causes to turn inward and give up and feel hopeless, you know, and just stop praying because it's not doing any good? It's very easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? Because I feel that, and I think that, I always assume that since I'm the guy doing the show, if I'm feeling it, you might be feeling it too. And that's why I want to talk about it, because I believe that the Holy Spirit leads me down certain paths and asks me to talk about certain things. And that's what I do here on Following the Truth. So that's what we're going to talk about today, seeking the Lord. And I'll give you a little bit of background after we pray. But I'll tell you, before we start, it's really great to have you with me on the show today. Great that you can hang out and spend a little time with me. It's something that I look forward to. This really builds up my spirits. I hope you enjoy the show as well. I keep getting nice messages about the program, and I'm really grateful. I'm really so glad that I do this again. And I have some ideas about where we go forward in the future in terms of the themes. At one time, I've been doing this show for a long time. I took about a 2.5-year break, but I was doing it for a long time, every day. And there was a time when I was doing 60 minutes a day. With all of my writing responsibilities right now, I just don't think that would ever be possible, at least at the moment. You never know what's going to happen in the future, but I was doing 60 minutes a day, and I had different themes. If you go back to the early years of Following the Truth, the radio podcast, I had a different theme for every night of the week. And I'm thinking maybe it's time to maybe incorporate one or two of those themes again, because some of them were really good. Some of them I found to be very useful. So I'm just letting you in on a little inside information about where I go in the future with this. But whatever I do, it's going to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me where I'm supposed to be going. And I'm glad you can hang out with me. I really am. I'm glad we can share the gospel for 30 minutes each day. I hope you're doing well. And again, I understand these are challenging times. It was, I'll tell you more after the prayer, but it was a challenging night for me last night as well. So I want you to understand this. I always am. Sometimes it's tough. I mean, I tell you everything just about, but sometimes it's still tough. Like, oh, do I really say this? But I want to be honest with you. I want to let you know that I struggle too. And I want to give you an insight into the way that I try to control going to a bad place, and I try to really tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk more on the other side of the prayer. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Holy Spirit, I praise you today. I worship you. I give you thanks for your constant presence in my life. Spirit, you advise me. You give me thoughts, inspirations. You work powerful things, occurrences, accomplishments in my life, and I'm really grateful for that. Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide my words today. I have a feeling I'm supposed to go somewhere with this program that I am unaware of. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me. Let me know where we're going. Give me the idea of where we are supposed to be. And I invite you, Spirit, to come alive in each of us. I invite you to awaken in a strong way in each of us right now. Inspire our thoughts, our words, our actions. Control our emotions, our desires. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to work in our lives. And I ask you to use me as your instrument on this program. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. And please open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Thank you, Spirit. We ask you for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you catch that? I was praying to the Holy Spirit today. This was what I felt to be an inspiration to pray to the Holy Spirit. You can. You can pray to the Father, to the Son, to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets shortchanged sometimes, but his role is very important. You are not going to get to know Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to live a Christian life, a good Christian life, without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus sent us the Spirit. So the Spirit's really important, especially when you are trying to put into practice the different concepts that Jesus taught us. It's hard to put those into practice without the help of the Holy Spirit. So make sure you turn to the Spirit and ask for his help. Okay, my name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. Great to have you along with me today. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. It's followingthetruth.com. You'd find out a lot more about me by going there. In addition, you could sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, just by giving your email address at followingthetruth.com. So if you're interested in getting a little inspirational message in your inbox from yours truly, just sign up for the devotional and you'll be all set. Okay, so I told you I want to use the Mass readings. I want to springboard off of the Mass readings for today's Mass, and it's July the 8th. It's a Wednesday. But I mentioned before the prayer that something happened last night. You know, there are times when I don't feel God's presence. It's no secret. I've shared that with you before. I'm not the only one. You read some of the writings of the great saints, and in no way am I putting myself in their league. But my theory is if it happens to them, people such as Mother Teresa, it can happen to me too. And there are times when I just don't feel God's presence. There are times when I pray for something and apparently there's no, I don't want to say there's no answer, because an answer of wait or an answer of no is an answer. So, but you know what I mean when I say that. There's no answer to the prayer. God doesn't give me what I want. I think that's the most accurate way to put it. And he doesn't quite say no. For instance, the coronavirus pandemic, praying for it to end every day. After a while, you start to run out of gas a little bit, don't you? And you start to think, okay, is this really worth it? What am I doing here? God, are you listening? And you know, and we get frustrated and we start to lose our momentum or our enthusiasm. We can all keep it going for a couple days, but as the days drag into weeks and into months and even into years, it's hard to keep going even when your prayer appears to be not answered. I'm going to tell you that. It's hard. So if you're feeling that, I'm with you. I get that. But one of the important works of the Holy Spirit, one of his gifts, is the gift of fortitude. That gift of fortitude can keep us going, can keep us persevering when we just want to quit. And see, that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. There will be times when you will not feel like praying. There will be times when you're getting angry that you're praying for something and it's getting worse. That sort of happened to me last night. I shared before with you, and she does not mind that I share this, that my wife Eileen has been struggling with anxiety lately, and she's also has some other symptoms, a clogged ear, which can be, if you ever had that, that is maddening. It can drive you crazy. And I've been praying for her healing, and she has as well, for a long time now. And the Lord really has helped her, but last night was a bit of a tougher night, and things happen, you know, especially in our current world climate, there's a lot of bad news. And even if you don't follow the news, It's easy to see a bad story, a negative story, a bad prediction come across your social media feed or on your phone. I mean, it's just hard to avoid this stuff. And we do. We try to avoid it, but sometimes you just can't help it. So it was a bit of a tough night last night. And I had some trouble sleeping. Eileen had some trouble sleeping. I did as well. There's a lot of times when she wakes up, I wake up. And I got frustrated. I got frustrated with the situation. And I told Eileen, and, you know, we prayed a little bit. But, you know, in the middle of the night, sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes I find it difficult to say anything other than help me, Jesus, or Jesus, or come, Holy Spirit. And you know, they're valid prayers. They're good prayers. But that's usually all I can put together sometimes, depending on the situation. So I was a little frustrated with God not answering certain prayers. And I told Eileen, I said, look, I'm not feeling him at all right now. I'm not feeling his presence. And I'm feeling a little hopeless about a few different things. But then I went, and I had to say that because it's okay. It's okay to feel hopeless. It's okay to feel like God's not present. It's not okay to believe that he's not present because our faith tells us he is present. You know, like, so we can't just say, well, I feel like he's not present, so therefore he's not present in my life. That's not valid. But you can say, I don't feel like he's present. Because it would be, if you would say that God's not present, God doesn't love me, it would be like saying, well, there's no air in this room. Intellectually, we know better. You might not feel God's love, but it's a pretty well-known fact that God loves us with an unconditional love, and he sent his son Jesus to redeem us. He created us out of nothing. I mean, it's pretty clear that God loves us. You might not feel it. You might disagree with some of his methods, but to deny that is pretty much a mistake. That's misguided, but it's okay to not feel it. So I wasn't feeling it last night. And went to sleep for a little bit, and I had to do radio on EWTN early this morning, and I was tired. I was tired when I finally woke up, and I woke up kind of on the wrong side of the bed. I was continuing with my unhappiness about circumstances, and ultimately, you know, I just pretty much said, Lord, you got to come through. You just got to come through because I'm not feeling anything. Ultimately, I got up, went about my business, put a pot of coffee on, got ready to do radio. And I did start to feel a little better. And circumstances began to change. We had a pretty good day today. And after some prayer, going to daily mass, I started to feel the Lord's presence. Again, that's not necessary. Sometimes he removes that feeling. He removes that feeling so that we seek not the good feeling, but seek him. That's how he takes us up to the next level. And the Lord knows us. And he's got his finger on the thermostat. And he raises the heat a little bit to challenge us because he wants us to grow in faith. So I tell you this because today's theme is seeking the Lord. Don't stop seeking him just because you don't feel him. You're going to have these peaks and these valleys in your spiritual journey. You're going to have ups and downs. You will feel like your problem is hopeless at times. That does not mean it is. Again, that's a substantiated fact. God can do all things. So we would be wrong to say that God can't handle this problem or God doesn't care. But we may feel like God doesn't care or he can't handle it. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Feelings are not facts. Feelings are feelings. Don't let your feelings guide you. I guess that's the moral of the story. So let's take a look at some of these. And I give you this insight to let you know where I'm coming from and how I sometimes struggle. But I've learned, keep going. If your kids are sick and they're little, you don't say, and they're up in the night because they're sick. You don't say, well, I don't really feel like getting out of bed because I'm tired when they cry. You do it out of love. And really, that's what a relationship with God should be all about. We should love him enough to keep going even when we don't feel it. Today's first reading from Daily Mass is from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Israel is a luxuriant vine whose fruit matches its growth. The more abundant his fruit, the more altars he built. The more productive his land, the more sacred pillars he set up. Their heart is false. Now they pay for their guilt. God shall break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. If they would say, we have no king, since they do not fear the Lord, what can the king do for them? The king of Samaria shall disappear like foam upon the waters. The high places of Avon shall be destroyed, the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles shall overgrow their altars. They shall cry out to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall upon us. Sow for yourselves justice, reap the fruit of piety, break up for yourselves a new field. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain down justice upon you. Now, what we see here, and we see this familiar story throughout the Bible, is God's people, the chosen ones, the Israelites, would fall away from God, something would happen, they'd come back to him. They'd turn away from him, they'd come back to him. In a similar way to us. You know, we don't want to admit it, but there are times in our lives when maybe things are going well and we tend to forget about God. Maybe there's times when things are going bad and we get so fed up that we forget about God and we don't want to deal with them. It's time to seek the Lord. I like that. It is time to seek the Lord. And that was the message that I felt the Holy Spirit was giving me last night. Gary, you might not feel like it, but it's time to seek the Lord. So I'm going to pass that along to you. It is time to seek the face of the Lord. And that leads us into responsorial psalm. Seek always the face of the Lord. This is Psalm 105. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds, glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. You know, in this psalm is one of the most important steps for dealing with your problems, for how to seek the Lord when you don't feel like it. You know, you don't feel like praying. Proclaim all his wondrous deeds. Spend a few minutes or try. You know, sometimes you're going to have to force yourself. You know, it's not going to come naturally, but spend some time proclaiming all his wondrous deeds. Try to think about what he has done for you in your life. And that's one of the ways you begin to appreciate him more, when you think about all the incredible things that he has done for you in your life. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents, and the judgments he has uttered. Look to the Lord in his strength. So you recognize, like if you've got a big problem, you seek, you reflect on his accomplishments in your life and throughout history, and then you recognize his strength. So in other words, you need to know he's powerful before you turn to him for assistance. Because if you don't recognize he's strong and he's all powerful, then you're not going to have a lot of confidence in his ability to fix whatever it is that you're struggling with. So it's important to recognize the strength of the Lord. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. And then we have the gospel, which is from Mark 1:15. I love this verse. This is the gospel acclamation. I'm sorry. So this kind of sets up the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I talk about this frequently during Lent when I give my parish missions. That's what Lent's all about. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is now. That's what Jesus said. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn away from your sinful habits. Turn away from trying to do everything by yourself. That word repent, that English word repent in Greek, and of course Mark's gospel was written in Greek. All the gospels were written in Greek. The word used is metanoia. It's a pretty familiar word if you're at all involved in Catholic reading or anything Catholic or just going to church. You're going to hear the word metanoia. It means an internal change. to believe in, to have confidence in, an internal change, to repent and believe in the gospel, to believe the good news, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And so many times I think we believe that the kingdom of God is something that's going to come in glory in the future. Well, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said this as he inaugurated his public ministry 2,000 plus years ago. So the kingdom of God is here now. And that verse is chosen as the gospel acclamation because it ties in with the gospel. It's Matthew 10 verses 1 through 7. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent these 12 after instructing them thus. Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus sent his apostles out. This is when he's initially sending them out to do some pretty impressive things in his name. And telling them, instructing them, specifically, tell the people who you are ministering to that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and to seek God in that kingdom. And I think that's the message for us today. I feel that's what the Spirit wants me to tell you today, because it's really hard to seek, or to even see before you seek, to see an invisible kingdom. The kingdom of God is invisible. But the bad news about the coronavirus and the statues being pulled down and the riots and the people getting sick and dying, that is in your face, real. It's not like you're you know, we talked about air earlier. It's not like air or electricity. You don't see them, so it's a little hard to comprehend them until you see them in action. You flip the light switch on. You hold your breath, and then you get a nice deep, you're able to take a breath again, and you breathe in the air, and you get a better feel for the air. But the concrete problems, especially when you watch the news or go on the internet or look on social media where everybody's attacking everybody else, that's real, and that's hard to ignore. That's very easy. You don't have to work hard to recognize the kingdom of the world, right? But the kingdom of God, it's a little more challenging. And that's one of the reasons I do what I do, because I want to help you. The kingdom of God is here. It's here now. And by accepting Jesus Christ, by turning away from your sins, by repenting and believing in Christ and accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior and surrendering your life to him, you are becoming a part of that kingdom. And he can use you and wants to use you to share that kingdom by going out and spreading that message. People need to hear this good news. People need to hear that there's hope. And you can do that in a number of different ways. And one of the things I thought of that just comes to mind as I'm speaking now is you can do that by not sharing that negative story on Facebook. You know, sometimes I wonder, Facebook, I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. For the most part, I'm able to block out a lot of the negative stuff. I'm fortunate that it doesn't usually affect me that bad. But sometimes I do get frustrated when I see some of the things that people share. And I wonder, why would they share this? You know, some prediction of doom and gloom, some negative story about a person. Why are we sharing this? Pardon me. At a time when we need to hear the good news, when we need to hear the gospel of Jesus, we need to be given hope. And again, you know, you've heard me talk about this before. This is not denial. This is reality. God's all powerful. He sent his son Jesus to save us from our sins and to give us, to enable us to live the abundant life. He doesn't want us to lead a mediocre life, a miserable life. He wants to lead a joy-filled life. He wants us to lead a joy-filled life. It doesn't mean with no suffering, but it means being able to experience his peace. At a time when people need to hear this message, sometimes I see the negativity and I think, wow, couldn't you, even if you're not going to share something positive, just don't share some of the negative stuff that's really useless other than to make people feel bad. You can be that person who makes a difference. That single light shining in the darkness, that single candle burning in a dark stadium. People need to see that. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let somebody know that today. Find a person. And again, you could just do it. You could share it on Facebook or Twitter. Share a positive story or a nice message that gives somebody hope, that leads somebody toward Christ instead of away from him. It doesn't have to be over-the-top religious either. Just a positive message. Or just refrain from sharing the negative one. Or attacking somebody in the church. You know, that could do so much good. So I think that's the message today. Seek the Lord and personally seek him out in your life. Make it a point to look for him. Pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance to help you find the Lord and experience his presence, and then share him with somebody else. Help somebody else to encounter the Lord. If you do that, you're going to make Jesus really happy. He really loves it when we do that, and he counts on us to share the good news. So that's my message today, and I am out of time. So I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow for the Thursday edition of Following the Truth. I hope you can as well. Make sure you let your friends know about this show. It's totally free of charge. They can try it out, see what they think. I'd love to have some new listeners to the program. I'd love to keep the old listeners, too. And by the way, I'm not calling you old, so don't get that wrong. All right, I'm going to get out of here before I get in trouble. God bless you. Talk to you next time.